Okay. Today, we have something special. Okay, as many of you know, this week we've been blessed by a visit from Father Abraham. Okay, and many of you know him, but some of you don't, so I'll just kind of tell you who he is real quick. Is that when Abraham served in this church for many, many years as a deacon and as a servant, and then about 1 year ago, a little bit less than a year ago, God called him and his wife Dahlia to go and serve in Africa. And they've been serving in the Church of Zambia ever since, and Abuna was ordained in this past February. Okay, and he's back here for a few weeks, and we couldn't let him be here in town and not stop by the Light and Life group. So he's going to come talk to you guys. Well, I won't tell you what he's going to talk about, but let's give him a big hand to Abuna Abraham.
Hey guys, it's good to see all of you. It's my first Light and Life meeting of Abuna. Sorry, I've never attended before. I heard they're really good meetings. I don't know what I'm going to talk about with all of you today, so we're just going to make up stuff. But as long as we're together, right? That's all that matters? Okay. No, but a lot of people have been asking me one specific question over and over again that it's been kind of ringing in my head since I came here. It's like, okay, Abuna, you've been in Africa now, and okay, so what do you do to have like effective mission work? Like, what's the best way to do mission? Tell me. Sit down. Tell me what can I do to be a good missionary here at home in Washington, D.C., or to understand what I can do to be effective. And I was thinking to myself, I have no idea. I have no idea what to do. So then I was praying about it, and then this morning I got up and I was reading the quiet time for today, and I think God kind of gave a small answer. So it's from Psalm 51 from the Bible. We'll share something small. If you can put that up there. Okay. Yeah. Don't worry, Abuna. Andrew's got it under control. Okay, so Psalm 51. I'll share, and then we can get into about Africa mission and stuff like that, but I want to share first from here. Okay. So this is like God answering me this morning about how to be an effective missionary and how to do effective mission. And it was a very weird answer. Like, it wasn't what I was expecting. But let's read together. If you have your Bibles, or you can just read up top. Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be just, be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be made whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me, but restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Okay, then this is the turning point now. Okay, right? Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Hallelujah. Okay. Sorry to take you through all that. But it's important for us to, I'm sure you know this already, I'm not going to tell you anything new, but it's important for us to understand something. Like, I felt God telling me something this morning. Like, to be a great missionary, and to go in and do mission across the world, or even to do mission here for all the people that you see every day. What's the most effective thing to do? What's the most effective? If you want to be effective to the people around you, and to bring in them to God, what do you need to do? What? Share. Repent. Anybody else want to? I guess that's a general yes. Repent. Show them love. Okay. Be merciful. Okay. Be an example. Okay. Tell them what God did for you. Okay. Exactly. I mean, I think it's very good. But the main thing is, I know it's a simple concept. I'm not here to give you anything new revelations. I'll leave that for Abuna, to give you new things. But for me, what God said to me this morning is, as soon as I go before God and see my sins and confess my sins and really change, this is when God's going to restore me inside. This is when He's going to restore me and restore everything about me to the point where, verse 13, I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will be converted to you. Imagine sinners, like King David is saying, sinners will be converted to you, Lord. But sinners will never be converted, like the people around us who are away from God will never be converted for the Lord, not through us, unless we what? Focus on the first 12 verses, right? Asking God, saying, God, I see my sins before me, I'm sorry for my sins, and truly go before Him and try to let Him fix what's inside of me. You want to be a great missionary? Then you really like meditate on this psalm. Because you'll never ever be able to restore and bring people back and convert people back to God unless we are converted first. So it's not a big thing. It's not a crazy thing. It's not going across to Zambia, and it's not like, you know, you're going to go fight lions over there, and that's not what it's about. Every one of you, and me, we just need to go before God and to be, and really repent from what things we're doing. As soon as you repent, as soon as you change the things that you're doing and I'm doing, that's when the people around you will start to be converted. Those people around you that you want to save and help will never be changed. They'll never be changed. You know those people around you that you've been reaching for and talking to, and they'll never be changed, ever, until you are converted, until you have the repentant heart and a broken heart, and until you allow God to come in and to restore you. Asking God to create me a clean heart and renew a spirit, a steadfast spirit within me. It's like, first you go before God and you say, God, I am broken. Please help me. Please fix these small things. And God will come in and restore you and fix you up. And from that, which is done every day, that's where the people around you will be converted. And that's when the people around you will start to come to God. Until then, you will help no one. Until then, I will help no one. Even because I'm in Zambia, it doesn't mean anything. Every day I need to go before the Lord and really ask Him to forgive me for what things I'm doing against Him. And when I do that, the people around me will be converted and the people around me will be changed. And that's how we can be great, effective missionaries. That's how you will be a great missionary right here. But until that happens, you know, it won't be effective. So that's my two cents about that. I don't know if Abuna can add anything to really... Okay, he'll save it to the end, the grand finale. Does anybody else want to say something out here? Any of you? Does that make sense? I just want to share something small. Like in Africa, we love sharing all the time. So that's all I'm doing. I'm just sharing from the Bible. This is the quiet time this morning. I didn't like find something out of the ordinary. This is the quiet time for the church. But it really spoke to me because the part about how to be an effective missionary, like a lot of people keep asking me, what do I do to be a good missionary? And I really didn't have an answer but until today. And this is the answer. So I hope this helps a little bit. And does anybody want to add or ask questions about this? Okay, I didn't mean to bore you. Okay, so now we're going to... Can we move on? Okay, and Abuna will... Let me stand up here. Okay. Also, the other thing that people keep asking me is what's going on in Zambia? Okay, you've been gone for almost a year. What are you doing? And as I'm speaking, you can take a look at some of the things going on here. One of the big things you see here, actually, is when me and Dahlia first got to Zambia, we inherited a lot of children. So we have a lot of children, me and Dahlia. I don't know if you knew that or not, but we have a lot of kids. They were just inside the church compound every day just sitting there, and no one was taking care of them and no one was doing anything with them. So little by little we started playing with them, and we found out that they're orphans and they don't have anyone really taking care of them. So the church has become their mother and father, and me and Dahlia become their mother and father. And we found out that they're not in school. They barely have anything to eat every day. You know, the typical stuff with orphans. I mean, I don't want to go in, like, I'm not here to make you a sad story. I'm not here to make you cry or anything like that. But these children are, God had given them to us, and we knew they were not educated, so we prayed and prayed and asked God to show us what we can do to help them. And we started the school, which you see here. It's a school for orphans. And it's really given them a new life and a chance at having a second chance at life. So we have them, and we teach them English, math, science, and we teach them how to be a great missionary. Our goal is to make these guys the future leaders of Zambia and the future missionaries of this world. So that's our prayer, and if you can also pray with us on that. But we just started little by little, so that's some of the stuff going on. Every day, I'll tell you, I'm going to go through my schedule just so you guys get an idea. A lot of you keep asking me, what do I do every day? And what does Dahlia do? I'll go through my day in the life. And then after that, you guys can ask questions about anything you want. So Monday, or is day off, just like here for the priests. But Tuesday, we start our week. And every Tuesday morning, the missionaries and the hospital and the doctors, everyone, we get together and we pray the third hour Igbeya, and we share in the Bible from the quiet time that day. And we just get filled up every day. So every day is like we get charged up before we go out. We have a missionary hospital there. We have a Hope Center for HIV/AIDS. And then we have the service which reaches into the compounds to reach the lost people and also to visit the people who are there. So on Tuesday morning after we do our sharing and prayer, we go out and we start going into the compounds. We go to the Hope Center. We go to the hospital, and the hospital has become really big, and it's become a real big tool for reaching people to God. So we go, every day is a different compound. So imagine like hundreds of houses, and you're going from one house to another, and you're visiting, you're sharing, you're praying, and you're sharing the Bible with many people, trying to let them know who Jesus is. And if they know Jesus, we really help them build their relationship with God even stronger. So every day we're in the compounds for many hours, just visiting, and also in the hospital and the Hope Center. So that's pretty much like every compound. Tuesday is different compound, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Every day is something different. We also, we have an inpatient ward. I don't think we have pictures of that, so sorry, but this thing will keep rotating. We have an inpatient ward with many patients where we go, and a lot of them are on their deathbed, and we pray and we share the Bible with them, and it really brings them a lot of joy, and a lot of them who get better end up coming to the church and being committed with us in the church. So also we have like we call them the mama leaders. We have mamas are just like adult women who are mostly widows, and we take care of them and help them build their spiritual life and become leaders in the church. So we have mama leader meetings, we have deacon meetings. So we have things like that. We also have youth meetings on Friday night like this church has. We have We have a visit into the bush area of Zambia, which is a remote area. You have to go on a very dirt road, and you got to go far, and we have a church there. So we have three churches in Zambia: St. Mark, which is the one I'm in, St. Mary, which is Father Mark is in St. Mary, he's a Zambian priest, and St. George, we both go to on Thursdays to visit and reach out to the people there. There's no priest there right now, but we visit and we give them communion, and we do medical campaigns there, and we really just... We just minister to all the people there. So it's that's pretty much the rough schedule. We have Bible studies, we have whatever. So we have everything there. I mean, it's great. We have a lot to do, and every day it's like, it's the simple things that really help in the mission. Like even the sharing today of like Psalm 51. It's every day it's so important that us as missionaries are focused on our life with God. And that's why we don't move until we do that. And every day really confessing before God anything that we're doing against Him. And I think that's the most effective. It's not because like we can't really picture like, okay, we have 20, 30 people, we're going out to the compounds and we're preaching and everyone's being converted. That's not the way it works. I'm sure you know that already. It's really just like the more my spiritual life grows, and the more Dali's spiritual life grows, and the more the people around us' spiritual life grows, and the more that we have repentant heart, the more that all these kids here will grow. So it's really like my spiritual life and my repentant life will help these people grow and help them make them leaders. And I think the same goes for here. So this is the children, this is the church that God has given us. This is a day we were handing out blankets here, and you don't know how happy it made them to receive blankets. And actually in Zambia it gets cold, really cold, and a lot of them who don't have blankets get really sick, really, really sick. So getting a blanket was a great thing. But our goal, like I want to tell you, our goal with these people is not just, it's not just to give them food and give them blanket. Oh, and then I did a great job. Our goal is that these guys right here, you'll see them as a priest in the future. These guys right here, you'll see them as future leaders in Zambia and future missionaries in Zambia. And maybe you'll even see them here as missionaries in Washington, D.C. That's our goal. We don't want to just save a life only. That's great. But God has told us, take these kids. And these are the kids that no one has cared about. Take these kids and make them better than even yourself. So our goal is to make them better than me and Dahlia. And so we're going to love them. We're going to disciple them. We're going to give them everything we got, because God sent us there. We're going to give them everything we got. And at the end, I'm praying that God will make them future leaders of the whole world and missionaries of the whole world. So that's what we're hoping and praying. And the mission is really, we thank God for giving us these kids. This is our family now, too. You guys are our family. This is also our family. So, I don't know, I'm just kind of babbling up here and hoping that... How about this? Maybe you guys can ask me questions, and it'll help me kind of think about what to say. But anything you want to know, like what I'm doing there or whatever. But I just wanted to give you a brief idea, because a lot of you were asking, and I was getting like it was too much to tell every single person from scratch. So I figured this might be a good chance to tell everyone or tell a lot of people. Yes, Mimi? Prayers. No, okay, the question was, what are you in most need of? I think what we really want... Okay, I'll put it this way. What we really want, and I'll tell you what we want, and then maybe we can talk about what we need to get there. What we really want is we want to build the native leaders there. There's not enough of them, right? So orphans, we want to build them to be leaders for God and leaders in the community. And even the leaders, the people there in Zambia, we want to make them leaders because, like, they're the ones that need to grow and to serve God and to reach out to all their community. We want to make an army of Zambian people, leading Zambia to know people, to know God. So that involves building the orphans, building the deacons, building the mamas, building whatever, all the people, not just going there and giving communion and just doing liturgies and saying, hi, how are you? And then, no, like, we want to make all of them, like, make them grow so one day they can lead the next generation. We feel it's missing there. There's no one, they have no one really to lead that. So we definitely need a lot of prayers for that, number one. And, you know, any kind of support. I don't know. Any kind of support. But main thing is we want to build leaders. That's the big need right now. And I don't know. I don't know if that answers your question. I think I don't want to go in too much detail, but like there's lots of stuff we need. But the main goal is like we want to build school for the orphans and get teachers sponsored and get kids sponsored and get them out of this and really have more time with like a missionary school there for the older ones. So that takes a lot of work, a lot of energy, a lot of prayers so that we can put all these potential people in there and let them grow to be missionaries. We're not satisfied. Like we feel like ever since I've been to Zambia, God has been telling me, I'm not sending you there just to take care of a flock of people like this and you just visit them and everything is nice, but to make these people, like hundreds and hundreds of Zambians, to be the future priests and deacons and, you know, so we have to build a nice atmosphere for that. So the missionary schools and orphan schools and whatever it takes to build them up. And I think God is revealing this little by little, but that's kind of the general message we received from the Lord. Okay? What other questions you guys have? Any questions? Yes? Would we use donations like clothes if we had them? Is that the question? Definitely, we can use everything. I mean, like as far as food and clothes, some of the kids don't have shoes, some of the kids don't have clothes, and a lot of people have been starting to sponsor this, which is good, and also we've gotten involved with World Vision, and they give like school supplies and stuff like that, but there's still much more need. Everything that is pretty much useful, if you have any, like I've been talking to John Bosta in the Mission Life Center, working with him in the more detailed stuff, so he has an idea now, the more the specific needs. If maybe I think he's going to come up later and talk about that in a few minutes. So maybe he'll... Yes? Yeah. Question is, how are you adjusting to going to Africa? It's very hot, and actually, it's hotter in America than Zambia. Ever since I got here, I've been like sweating every single day, and I'm in like there. It's very nice and cool. Actually, it's winter time there. I've only been there during the winter, so I've experienced really cool weather, but I haven't had a chance to experience the hot weather in Zambia yet. It's in October, but there's no problems. Actually, Zambia is a very beautiful place. Actually more beautiful than America, in my mind. People have the wrong impression of Africa. They think it's like... I mean, there's some places in Africa like that, but at least in my experience of Zambia, it's very beautiful. People are very gentle. It's a very beautiful area. There's the modern areas, and there's the poor area. But overall, like, it's... Like, we're not, like, suffering there. We're not, like, dying every day or anything. It's not like... It's really like... It's really great, to be honest with you. I really recommend you come and see. It's really, you know, of course there's the poor areas. There's the places where, like, there's the village area where there's the huts and things like that. So there's both. And there's poor areas here in America, too, you know, in the D.C. and stuff. So, but so far I love it, and it's great that people are wonderful, and you can't ask for anything more. So it's not been a hard adjustment. It's really nice.
I'll just add one thing on that one. Okay, because I've gone to Zambia many times in particular, that if you lived in Egypt, you'd be more than fine in Zambia, okay? There's no comparing, okay? So, I mean, it's like Zambia is not that much below America, believe me, and there's some areas there that are really, really nice, so, like, it's like Abuna said, it's not what we oftentimes think of it, okay? Trust me, if you made it in Egypt.
We got Mina in the back, and... Greatest challenge, and I was sharing this with Abu and Anthony, and I kind of just mentioned it now, is like finding, some days I feel like I'm by myself, me and Dahlia are by ourselves. we realized quickly we have like no one there. We don't have enough people there. It's like you dream of building an army for God and moving forward. But now I'm kind of like, I'm locked down. I need the challenge is to really build the leaders so we can build an army for God and move forward. So right now that's the biggest challenge, is really building some people around so we can go forward and do mission. So it's been a challenge. It's a challenge because some days, like they're reliable. Some days we have, you know, it's, I guess it's a challenge everywhere. But that's the main thing. We pray that we can invest some time in the people, and one day it'll be fruitful where we can have a big mission moving forward to different areas of Zambia. Because there's so many areas in Zambia that have been crying and asking us to come, and we just can't. We don't have enough people. So the challenge is really discipleship of the leaders so far. Right here, and then... Yes. That's a good question. Is there a language barrier? The predominant language, if you're educated, is English. If you're not educated, which a lot of people are not, then the tribal language is Nyanja. And I'm trying to learn a few words, and I'm trying to pick that up. But for the most part, we walk around doing our mission. I have my deacon, and I'm speaking English. And if people don't understand, he translates. So it's a lot of translation. And if the people who've gone on mission understand this. So, but English is the language of Zambia. So everyone is educated. That's why we want to get these kids educated too, the orphan kids. Like everyone is educated, knows English perfectly. But the one, the people who are not, it's really a struggle for them. Say it again. I missed the question. Yeah, I think that when God called, He said, "Go to Zambia," but I didn't go right to Zambia. He had a different plan. I went to Kenya for 6 months, and you're right. Like, okay, now God, you called me. I'm gonna be a great missionary. I'm gonna be a priest one day. I'm going out, and then He said, "Who? You're not going to Zambia, and you're not gonna be a priest right away." He said, "I need to build you up." So He really gave me a good lesson. The first few months in Kenya was probably the most difficult I probably ever had in my life. But that was part of His plan, to break me down and to really pour into me everything He wanted. And, you know, so I didn't go to Zambia until March or April, but I left in November. So definitely I had something in my mind and God had something different in His mind. But He, of course, it was the right way. Like He was preparing. He was preparing me for what He had for Zambia. Because if I went to Zambia right away, I probably would have messed everything up. Instead, I was with Abuna Elisha and Abuna Musa, which I'm sure you've met them. They're, you know, learning from them. The mission is, He wanted me to go there first to learn, and then He sent me off. So, and that has to, it happens a lot even now. So many times I have a lot of ideas on what mission should be, and then God just slowly like says, "Wrong." And this is, so yes, to answer your question. Sorry, Chair, I can't hear you. It's a good question. That's why we're trying to open up the theological missionary school. This school, the educated people will be coming. It draws that group of people. So because they want to come and they want to go more deeper in the Lord and understand God more. So we'll have the theological missionary school. And they had it before in Africa, and it brought Father Mark, who is the greatest priest. He's really great. He's very humble. So, and we're praying that it'll draw more people like that. So yes, we haven't started yet, but we're praying for that, for this project. Okay. So the different response, like the question is, what are the different roles for people when they come? I think that it's a good question. We definitely need more, and we definitely have opportunities in the hospital, in the Hope Center, to do medical missions and work with HIV and stuff like that, and work on bringing, helping the atmosphere in those places be all for God, so when people come there, they feel like God's presence is there. And also, we have this school, which is new, and the theological school, like I was telling you, like we had some missionaries recently who came from Canada, and they're really doing great. They're helping us put together the school from scratch. And without them, it's like we're crippled sometimes. We don't have enough people to help us start some of these projects. But thankfully, like, so the orphan school needs a lot of work, and the theological school needs a lot of work, and mission in general there. There's so many different places we need to go. And like I said, for the people coming, your main objective is to build the people in Zambia. Not to come and be heroes, you know, but to come and to build the people in Zambia so they can continue. If you do that, that would be the greatest gift you can give to God and give to us even, is to come, to see what's there, to build, and build the leaders so they can continue what you came to help with. So, I mean, there's many countries in Africa are in need. The Bishop Paul, who is in charge of this area, has 4 or 5 countries that he serves in, which is Zambia, Congo, Kenya, Tanzania, and Nigeria, and also Uganda. So there's a big need in Zambia at the time. And I've been to Zambia 3 or 4 times on mission trips. And I think God was working something out there. So I was visiting, and then even I wanted to come for a longer time, but not forever at the time. But he had, I think God was building something for me to be there. And I have good relationship with Bishop Paul, who I've done many mission trips with, so it worked out. Yes? Let me clarify a little bit about the orphans that we're dealing with. These are orphans who have guardians, but the guardians are not like their parents, or could be, they could either lost a mother or father, or they're living with their uncle, or they're living with like a grandmother or grandfather. And most times these children have no one taking care of them. So what we're doing now is a first step. I mean, down the road, maybe God will lead to an orphanage or something like this, but right now at least, like, they have a home. They might not be taken care of in the home, but we're coming in to try to supply what they need in their home, you know, and to build them up. We're not giving up on them. Like right now, they have nothing. But so that's the first step, and we'll see from there. I don't know what the next step is, but at least they have a home, and we're trying to provide their education, their spiritual needs, medical, everything. And from there, we'll see one day if there's an orphanage that's needed or maybe some other thing. But right now, that we're like in the very baby steps. These kids kind of just landed on our door, and so just one step, I guess, at a time. Yes? Okay, I'm sorry? Crime rate? What is it? The crime rate.
Climate.
Climate or crime? Crime. I heard climate here and crime rate.
Why don't you speak about both?
The climate's beautiful, the crime rate. the crime rate, I don't know statistics. It's you just gotta be careful at night. I mean, it's like, it's very safe there. it's like any place, like DC, you gotta just be, you know. But it's very safe. We never had any problems. I don't know any statistics. But just you have to be careful. You don't just go late at night, because there's no street lights everywhere. There's no lights, you know. So you just got to be careful. Just don't walk in the dark at night. You just got to be smart. It's not about crime rate. It's really just be smart. Don't walk in the dark in a place you don't know. I think it'd be fine. But yeah. Okay. The church is probably, St. Mark Church is about 200-300 people. Maybe more, because the kids are like a couple hundred by themselves. With the kids, maybe 400 or 500, but more adults, maybe 200 adults. Because we have more kids that don't come with their parents. It's not like here. Like, it's just the kids, they come by themselves, and they come into church, and they have church and Sunday school, and you'll never see their parents, and if they have parents even. But so I think the total amount of people is like, with the kids, maybe 400 or 500. That's in St. Mark's. St. Mary's is probably half of that, and St. George is probably half of that. So, and then there's many more places they want us to come, like to visit and to reach out to. We just don't, like I said, we don't have enough people right now, and we're praying for that. Yes, Mimi. All of you. That's probably it. Nothing else. I don't miss the traffic. I don't miss McDonald's or anything. I don't miss any of that. Like, it's not like, all I miss is like the people, my family and friends. That's it. Nothing else is really, not missing anything else. What's the finances? What's your question? I didn't hear. Oh, very good question. Some of it is from the hospital. We have a mission hospital, but it's become very like well known in Zambia because there's not a lot of good hospitals in Zambia. And actually, there's one even bigger in Nairobi, Kenya. And thank God that he supplied a good place for us and does some of the support. And then really a lot of the people from the Western world have really supported through prayers and finances and supplies. And something new we developed is working with different organizations, like, for example, the HIV/AIDS. We work with an organization called CHAZ or PEPFAR from the Global Fund, and they supply all the like the medical supplies and HIV medicine. But a lot of it comes from, thankfully, from all of your prayers and support, too. Yeah, I think John's going to come up and like right after I'm done, and he'll explain some stuff, because the church here is very, very loving and always caring about the mission around the world. You guys have done great mission around the world, and so John will speak more to that in a minute. Okay, the question was, what kind of job would these guys have? Can we do some? Can we get them trained in some kind of area? And one thing we do have, which is great, is a lot of the people have been moved and working actually in the Hope Center and the hospital. So we have this avenue of this hospital and Hope Center, as it's getting bigger, we're actually moving a lot of the people from the church into that. And hopefully we can also do the same from the people that we train here. Secondly, in Kenya, they do this better than we do right now, which is they have like computer training programs. And they have like woodworking and stuff like you just mentioned, and sewing, and like they have all these different vocational trainings to give them a chance when they get older that they can have a job and things like that. But also, if you are educated in Zambia, if you have a proper education through college, which we're hoping for them, you can get a great job there. So between maybe eventually we can have some more vocational training. We're just not there yet. Kenya is really doing a good job with that. But also like getting them all the way through university. There's the University of Zambia, it's very well known in Africa, and we hope if we get them through that, even they'll have a greater job, you know, and still being a missionary too. We don't want them to lose that. Like, we hope that they can change the world for God also. That's good, thank you. Yes. Yeah, we're praying for sponsorships. We're praying for, yeah. We haven't had anybody in university level that we're sponsoring. We had some in younger levels, but I think eventually that's our goal. Because if we can take them all the way from nothing, no education, through university, it's going to change them. So we're praying for sponsorships. We just, like I said, we're still early, but, you know, it's good that I'm sharing with all of you because you guys can give us encouragement. You guys can give us ideas. You guys can give us prayers, and that will help us in our journey. So. Governments are challenging. It's a challenge with the government. In Africa, the governments are always challenging to get support, but we're still we try to work with them because we want them to know who we are, and at times they've helped us and at times we haven't received help, but we keep in communication with them. Actually, we got a chance to meet President Manawasa like a couple months ago, and we just keep in relationships with them. We try to meet with some of the government officials, and we pray that, you know, that we, you know, we haven't really had a lot of help yet, but maybe in the future, as they get to know us more, they will help us. So we're trying to keep the lines of communication open, but nothing really has happened too much yet. Yes? How many other religions? It's a Christian nation by the government, like they declare it a Christian nation. There's some Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist, some Islam, but predominantly it's just different religions within Christianity. But we, you know, just by name, but not like really practicing this. So, but it's a predominant Christian nation. That's a great thing to have as a starting point. Okay. Sure. What do I see different? Lots of similarities. I mean, sometimes it's challenging for them because they grow up like not having anything. So it pushes them to do things that's not right. Like they grow up like because they don't have food, they don't have things, they might grow up stealing. And it's something, it's very hard to get out of their system. But it's something that we're working on. But they're so simple, and the greatest thing is they're such simple people that they're willing to listen to anything you say. You know, you can see like big changes all the time in them. And I don't know, just simple, gentle people. It's something very special when you interact with them. Great. I think sometimes we're filled so much with so many things that we're so complicated that it's hard for like anything to work inside of us. But them, they're really almost empty and simple. And like when you speak to them, it really goes straight to the heart. There's no barriers of complication of the world. It's a different life. You know, there's so much, you know, so much more difficult sometimes here to minister, but they're more like they're very simple people. You know, when you meet a simple person and you say it's so easy to talk to them and minister to them. But sometimes, unfortunately, we get filled with so many things here in America that it's hard to communicate with and work on them. So, am I boring you guys? Last question. Okay. Last question. We've had our ups and downs. I don't know. I think we had our ups and downs. Like when I first got there, everyone was coming to see the new priest, and then we had a big downtime, and then we had some ups. Like, we're having up and down. We're hopefully gonna. So it's hard to tell, but I think it's gone up. Thank God. I mean, we've been praying a lot for those people, and God's working. God's working, but it's challenging. It's not easy, but it's challenging. You know, just pray for us. That was the last question. And John, I think, will come up and say a few words. Thank you very much.
How's it going? As Vinu was mentioning, we've got a way for everybody to get involved. A few months ago, I was speaking to Abuna, and he'd mentioned something that really stuck in my head, and that was, half of the world has everything, and half of the world has nothing. And he said it was really our duty as Mission Life Center and as a community to connect those two parts of the world. And we're hoping today is the beginning of that connection. Today we want to announce the Oz Project, not Ozzy Osbourne, not the Wizard of Oz, just the Oz Project. And that's the Orphans of Zambia Project. And I want to be very specific. This isn't a charity project. This is not something where we're going to ask you to give money and you feel good about yourselves and we get what we want and that's the end of it. It's much more than that. As Abuna was mentioning, this is a project intended to take our resources to build missionaries there in Africa. As all of you well know, AIDS has ravaged Africa. And out of the wake of that has come these orphans. And that's where many of these orphans come from. I love Harry Potter. I don't know if anybody else likes Harry Potter, but if anybody knows the Order of the Phoenix, you know how the story goes. Out of the death of the phoenix comes a much greater life. And we believe that out of the death of their parents will come a much greater life with these orphans. And what they really want to do is to empower and educate and build up people for the kingdom. You know, missionaries there working and spreading the word of God. So the question becomes, how do we get involved or how can we get involved? As Abuna said, prayer is definitely the most important thing. It's probably the thing that we write off the most, but it definitely is the most important thing. Our prayers definitely shape the way the world looks, and unfortunately our lack of prayers also shape the way the world looks. So the biggest thing they definitely need is prayers. Death is a common thing over there for them to see every day. So they need our support with prayers. The second thing to help support is
cash money.
Actually, any kind of money. And the biggest thing with that is our money goes such a long way over there, and it's such a big support to what's going on over there and allows them to do what they're doing over there. And it's very selfish of us to kind of hoard that money to ourselves to get more things when people are dying over there. Everybody likes their Starbucks coffee. Nobody's asking you to give it up. Maybe just buy an extra cup for an orphan in your month and support them over there. And the last thing they really need is missionaries. Many of us have been on the two-week trip. The two-week trip is very sexy. We go, we take pictures, come back, tell our family and friends, which is great and is a wonderful thing. But what they need is long-term missionaries. They need people there that are willing to serve and be with them and be part of, I don't want to say the struggle, but the building that they're doing over there with all these orphans. At the back table over there are these cards. And there's a little bit of information about the project, but more importantly, there's ways for you to support. The good thing about the money is this isn't a one-time thing. We're looking for something recurring so that their work can continue. These orphans are increasing, not decreasing. So the work is always going to be there. So there's an opportunity to grab a card and to become part of that building project. And there's also an opportunity to donate right now if you'd like. There's a computer available for you to donate online. And we'll have some more information over there. That's all I've got.
Okay, so I'm just going to say one thing real quick. Okay, and I like the question that someone in the back asked, I think it was Mimi, about what the greatest need is. And John actually hit on it just right there. He's talking about three needs. Okay, about prayer. Talk about
cash money.
Okay. And then he talked about people. Which of the three, I'm not going to say which is the most important. I'm going to talk about people, okay? I'm going to talk about people going and spending their time over there. Because really, like, especially anytime I sit with Mbabulus, who's the bishop over there, he always tells me that money is never the problem, okay? Money's not the problem. It's the same problem the Lord Jesus Christ had 2,000 years ago. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And the problem, like, money is a problem, and there's no doubt about it, but money's a lot easier to get than people. And believe me, I'm sure Abuna Abraham will tell you, and Dalia will tell you, they trade a lot of money for committed people to stay there and serve, okay? And like John was saying, we're talking about more than like a two-week trip. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to challenge you, Okay? And I myself have been challenged by the visit of Abuna Abraham here, and I'm going to challenge you as well. John said it perfectly, is that really half the world has everything and half the world has nothing. Sometimes I think to myself, like, we have so much here, and there's like a whole continent there that has nothing. What's the difference between me and them? Like, really, what's the difference between me and them? What's the difference between you and them? Like, really, what's the difference? It's a flip of a coin. Easily you could have been that guy who was born over there, and that guy over here could have been born into the riches that you were born into. Like, every time I see people, especially like, I mean, I see it very clearly with people coming from Egypt who have had difficult, you know, situations, whether it's family or just people coming to church. Like, what if the lottery, whatever, went to that guy instead of that guy? You know what I mean? They're both named Girgis, they're both named whatever. Like, easily it could have been that Girgis instead of this Girgis, and then you would be over there, and you would be knowing exactly what it's like, what the climate is like, what the crime rate is, right? And you'd know all the answers to those questions. So really, we're not here because we earned it. We're not here because we did anything. We're only here because somehow God put us here. But you know, when God gives you money, when God gives you health, when God gives you time, He expects you to do what with it? Give it right back to Him. I read a statistic one time that I'll never forget, that truly made me so sad, is that you know that the world produces enough food by itself for every single person on the planet to have a healthy meal, like a healthy diet every single day. Did you know that? The world produces enough food by itself. What does that tell you? Should there really be... I'm talking about healthy, because some people, not really healthy, like healthy, healthy, like normal size. Okay? Not like you're all-you-can-eat Shoney's healthy. Okay? What does that tell you? God put enough food for all the people, and all He asks is that we just share it. And if we really could share it, there would be no one that'd be hungry. Like, doesn't that boggle your mind? I mean, we read statistics and all the people and the dying and the orphans and the no food. Really? If we're all working together and every one of us is... I'm not saying everyone needs to pick up their bag, pack their bag, and move to Zambia. Okay? Because then America would be hungry. But what I'm saying is, all of us needs to do our part. Okay? And I'm challenging you and to do your part. I'm challenging you to think seriously about spending a summer in Africa. Like, before it was hard, now it's easy. Now Abuna's there, Dahlia's there. They check their email so we can email them and set things up. They speak English, you don't have to speak a funny language to them. They know how you culture, and you know their culture. So it's not difficult anymore. All you have to do is be willing to fork up the money for a plane ticket and be willing to make a leave of absence at work or not take an extra class in the summer to build up your resume or whatever it is that you're doing. It's not that difficult. I'm challenging everyone here to think seriously about it. Some people can't for whatever situation. I'm not saying everyone. But what I'm saying is, have you even thought about it? Or like Abuna said, is that we're comfortable here and we have our whatever. If for no other reason, the poor man said what he misses is you. The poor man said he misses people. So are you going to leave the poor man by himself? Or are you going to visit the guy? Okay? Last thing I'll say, then we'll pray. If you decide to take me up on my challenge, who wins? Abuna Abraham wins? You win. If you don't believe me, go read in Matthew chapter 10, okay, when you go home, about when the apostles and disciples were sent out on the mission trip, and they had to leave their families and leave their jobs and leave their comfortable McDonald's and all that kind of stuff and go out there and just talk to people about God and do something for the kingdom of God. What did the Bible say was the immediate result of that? They returned with great joy. Returned with great joy. I promise you, I will buy you dinner, okay, if I'm wrong. I promise you, there's no greater joy than building a house in God's kingdom. There's no greater joy. I challenge you to go and do something great for the kingdom of God and say, you were wrong, Abuna Anthony, partying with my frat boys is more fun. I challenge you. Hanging out at happy hour is more fun. I challenge you. I'm serious. Okay? If you think it is, go see. Like, you have to be fair and you have to go test it. And go see, well, what gives you more joy? A lot of people don't have joy because they're building their own kingdom. And the world can give you like this, but God, like, again, don't believe me. Go read Matthew chapter 10 or Luke chapter 10. It's biblical. It's not my invention. Okay? But the greatest joy you'll have is to be used by God. There's no greater experience in the world. The question is, are you willing to make that sacrifice and like to take a chance? Okay, I saw some hands pop up. We'll take, because of time's sake, any questions we'll take afterward, okay? But I want you to really think about this challenge, okay? And it's really for every single person here, is that you have a chance to, instead of building your kingdom and your bank account and your retirement, okay, which will continue to be built, is to go build something in God's house. Okay, let's stand for a prayer.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for bringing us here today, Lord, as a family and as friends. We thank you, Lord, for this church who you provided for all of us, Lord, to grow and to know you more, Lord. We thank you so much for Fathers, Father Bushoy and Father Anthony, Lord. Bless them and guide them. Guide all the people here, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to open our hearts and guide us, Lord. We do want to be pleasing to you, and we do want to make you happy. And we do want to serve you, and just show us what you want from our life, Lord. Our life is yours. It's not ours. It's yours, Lord. And do with it as you please. And show us how we can help you in your mission and how we can and serve you. Lord, sometimes we are tired of the everyday life and the average life, the boring life. But we know that something more that you want to give us, Lord. I ask you to give it to all my brothers and sisters here. Give it to them, Lord, and pour all this joy and blessings on them, and let them get a chance to really help your kingdom, Lord. We thank you, we glorify you for all you've done. We thank you for the message today and just time to spend with each other. We love you, we thank you. Through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, intercessions and prayers of all your saints, hear us as we thankfully say, Our Father who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.